Hello, everybody. This is Ben Starr with you with The Positive Mind, bringing you ideas, concepts, and guests to help you lead a more positively minded life. Here on 99.5 FM, WBAI, in New York City. Thanks again for tuning in today. Those of you who tuned in yesterday, you heard us talking about the concept of link versus flow. And we thought we'd expand on that today since we got a lot of feedback from our listeners via emails and phone calls even after the show, after going off the air. Our phones kept ringing off the hook. And thanks to those of you who sent us emails. Again, you can always email us at positivemind@wbai.org. But we got a lot of feedback on the conversation we had yesterday. Kevin O'Donohue, myself. Kevin is back with me here today. Thanks for being here, Kevin.
Yeah, you bet.
And we wanted to just expand on that some more because many of you really reacted to this and responded to this. And it's a topic that really is relatable to everyone because what we're talking about here is the link between past, present, and future, and psychologically how we connect to our past and how we connect to our future, and why it's so important above all else to be able to disconnect from the past and the future and be in the moment, in the present, right here, right now.
That's what everybody wanted when they wrote us yesterday and called in. They want more flow. So they're asking us, Ben, how do we do this? How do I get more flow? How do I stop my linking?
Right. And as we mentioned, I mean, it's a characteristic of many unhappy people to be here yesterday or be here tomorrow, but not to be able to be here now, which is something that happy people have a much easier time doing, to be here now, right? We know that regrets, for instance, all regrets are things that come from the past, right? The loss of a loved one, maybe a failed relationship, unattained goals that we might have had at one time. These are regrets, and when we dwell on those, we're dwelling in the past. And when we dwell in the past, well, we're sticking with those regrets. And on the other side of that comes, right, the future preoccupations, which you could call worry. I guess you could call it fear. You could call it phobia.
Anxiety.
There's a good one. I mean, all worry, right, comes out of future when you think about it.
And pretty much all anxiety. I mean, anxiety, you're not anxious about yesterday. You know, you're anxious about the next minute, the next hour, the next meeting, the next encounter, tomorrow.
And let's draw a distinction between worrying and feeling concerned for the future. Feeling concerned for the future is absolutely appropriate and a very healthy response to, you know, the life that, you know, the challenges that we all face in life. Feeling concern for the future really is about strategizing. It's about maybe making plans for the future. So it's a much more sort of active thing than the passive worrying. Feeling concerned for the future, you know, strategizing strengthens us, right?
Yeah.
Planning things, whether career, financial, family-wise, personal-wise, you know, the concern can be good, but where we get tripped up is when we spend the time in worry. And we want to draw these distinctions because we went yesterday in depth with this concept of link and flow. And let's just go over that. Link.
Yeah, I just had to say, you're making me think of Benjamin Braddock in The Graduate. I'm concerned about my future. You know, the whole movie tracks him.
And then they tell him to go into plastics.
But link and flow. You know, yes, we were talking about how when you're vulnerable to linking the present moment to something that happened in the past, you're going to be more down. It's going to make things worse for you. I mean, if you can tolerate a heavy dose of road rage and you're familiar with that, the chances are you're probably linking the current situation to something else. Not to mention also that you're probably anxious. I mean, we didn't mention that yesterday, man, about road rage. Often road rage can be, I'm behind. I'm supposed to be somewhere. I'm anxious about getting somewhere.
I'm anxious about what's going to happen once I do get there. What's going to happen once I get there and I'm late?
Yeah. Yeah. So we do a certain amount of things when we link, and generally it all leads back to this feeling of dread or anxiety or depression that we can't get out of. And so we want to go towards flow. And everybody was calling in, was trying to figure out, how do I get out of that? How do I get to flow? So what are some things you think of, Ben, when you think of getting into flow?
Well, yesterday we talked about breathing, for starters, right? Breathing in terms of controlled breathing, meditation techniques, and as a method to kind of balance out our physiological indicators, right? I mean, just to, and we keep going back to this example of road rage because I think it's very accessible and relatable, and everyone's been there.
Yeah.
Everyone, and if it's not road rage, you know, if you're a commuter, a strap hanger here in the city, it's
when the subway is
MTA rage,
45
right? Everyone in the city either can identify with MTA rage or road rage. Right, and that is the need to move somewhere else, and the, having the control and the power kind of stripped away from you, and I'm unable to get where I'm trying to go, and now I'm powerless, and now that makes me scared or angry or both.
And what if you said, "Oh, this is an opportunity."
Right, this is an opportunity to slow down, take a deep breath, and be in this moment, and think about what it is exactly that I'm running towards or running from.
Hmm. Yeah, so maybe flow is the antidote to linking, rather than forcing it, to say, oh, I'm not in the wrong. I'm not in control. There's nothing I can do about where I'm at. This is an opportunity. I can be here now. I can be here. And how does that feel?
Well, it's not always easy, Kevin.
Yeah, it's not.
Because the fact is, sometimes wherever we are is not an easy place. Oftentimes it's not an easy place. And to confront what it is that we're struggling with is often takes a lot of courage and a lot of strength, because we're afraid. We're afraid to deal with the fact that we're jealous or that we're angry or that we're scared.
Mm.
And instead of really confronting that and looking at that honestly, we mask it, right? We mask it and we pour a layer of anger over it, or we pour a layer of alcohol over it.
Mm.
We pour something on it to push it away.
Right.
And that's when we get into, like we said, worrying about the past, fearing and having anxiety around the future. I mean, these are both strategies, right? Coping mechanisms that we use to avoid the here and now, right now.
Yeah. And we want to try to make being here now more attractive than road rage or any kind of feeling.
Right. A fear, any kind of fear, any kind of phobia. Because at the end of the day, right, fears and phobias are all about the future. I mean, someone who's scared of water is not afraid of, you know, drowning in this instant because they're going to be, you know, they're not in water. They're afraid that sometime in the future they're going to fall into a pond or a bathtub or a swimming pool and they're going to drown. Mm-hmm. Or somebody who's claustrophobic is not afraid of being smothered and crushed right now. They're afraid that, you know, in the future they're going to get on a subway train that's packed to the gills. Or in the future they're going to get stuck in an elevator.
So there's the thing, Link. If I get stuck on a subway, if this subway coming at me is full,
then I won't breathe and I'll be terrified.
Right. Then I won't breathe and I'll be terrified.
Right.
But if you do breathe, maybe you won't be terrified. But the claustrophobia happens before the train shows up at the station. You're here it comes. I hope it's not full. I'm phobic. I can't wait. And then there it is. Here it shows up. And now what you have is fear.
Yeah. And we had a caller yesterday. I forget exactly which caller said this. We had a few callers, but one of our callers said, listen, it's not that easy. It's not that easy to get away from the sort of obsession, the fixation on the past or the future. I mean, a lot of people have very real anxieties and difficulties and fears that they have to deal with in the future. And that's absolutely true. It's not easy. You know, it's
this guy was 23 years in sobriety with AA,
right,
talking about how his automatic is to not take anybody in, to not listen to somebody. 23 years into sobriety, he's now seeing, oh, I easily tune people out. I don't want to hear them. It's kind of like being alone with your drink. Not listening is a way of being alone with your drink. And he was fully acknowledging it. And he says, now I bypass that. I have that impulse, but wait a second. I continue to hang in there with the person, and I still listen. And now I have people in my life. So he's, you know, he was convincing, very convincing, like, this is not easy. I'm still doing this 23 years in. So this deprogramming, how to deprogram your compulsion to stay away from the present moment, to not listen to who you're with, to be somewhere else, really be somewhere else.
Absolutely. You're listening to The Positive Mind here on 99.5 FM, WBAI on your dial. I'm Ben Starr here in the studio, joined by Kevin O'Donohue. And we're continuing yesterday's conversation of living in the present, living in the moment, versus anxieties about the past and anxieties about the future and regrets about the past. How do we get there? How do we get there? It really is a challenge. And a little bit later in the show, we'll be taking calls, and we'd love to hear from our audience how you deal with that. Or maybe you don't. Maybe you are stuck in the past or stuck in the future. And you know, we've heard that a lot over the years on this program. People who, you know, have called us and have said that they really are having trouble moving past something that's in their past. And, you know, that's something that a lot of people are going through. And, you know, there's no shame in it, because it's a very, very common, very, you know, it's not unusual in the least bit.
Yeah. You know, and you're making me think that really all therapy is about getting present.
Why is that?
Well, you want to be with a therapist who's present with you. You don't want a therapist who's somewhere else. You want them to be with you in the room when you're going through whatever you're going through. But... And a lot of therapy is getting people out of their habitual thoughts and links to what's ailing them, and get them to be here. Okay, I understand. You know, somebody died. You lost somebody. You're going through a depression. You've been depressed. You're an addict, or you're this, or you're that. Okay. I get it. I'm with you. We're here now. So let's practice just being here. And that's what good therapy does. The client can look up and see a person who's there with them.
Like, how can we do that?
Oh, it's just a matter of starting with your breath. Just breathe. Just say, I mean, we do this in my therapy. I say, okay, let's just breathe. Just breathe. Take a moment.
What if we tried it right now?
I'm into that. Sure. So let's do it. Okay, So put your feet on the ground, put your feet on the floor, and just sit there.
Just be grounded.
Be grounded and be relaxed. Just say, I'm relaxed. I can be relaxed. I'm allowed to be.
I can be relaxed.
I'm allowed to be relaxed.
Yeah.
And I will be relaxed.
I will be.
I'm here now. And then you let everything fall away. Everything's falling away. And you know when a thought is coming, because a thought is a disturbance. I'm not going to let any thoughts come. I'm just going to be here, and I can see that chair, and I can touch that desk, and I can see that color, and I can just be. And there's nothing for me to do. There's nothing to do. One can breathe. No thought. 1 minute.
that's what 1 minute feels like.
Yeah.
Amazing. When you're really grounded and you're really with yourself, that 1 minute is like an eternity.
Yeah. You feel new, right? I mean, I do. I just did it and I feel like, oh, now my day starts. Here it is. This is where I wanted to be 3 hours ago. But I did notice me start thinking. I did notice. Armand always said, palabres.
Right, speaking without any meaning.
And thinking without reason.
Really, I mean, really just filling the gaps in silence with small talk.
Right.
Babble.
Right. And you do that with yourself, and you do that with other people. And you don't have to. You can just relax. Have a thought-free moment. No thoughts. So how does it feel? So we're going to be asking people later in the show how it feels. And if we want to do this again, and I mean, you know, a therapy session's 55 minutes, 50 minutes. If a client says to me, can we do this 3 times in a session? I'm like, absolutely. Let's do it. And then see what comes up. Let's not go into your habitual complaints, your habitual things. I mean, let's see what comes up if we're quiet together. Just silent and relaxed. No pressure. It's a whole different direction. People are generally relieved.
And I want to hear from you out there. I want to hear from you at 212-757-5555. How you deal with the balance? Are you stuck in the past? Are you lost in the future? Is it hard to stay here now in this moment? Or have you found a way that helps? Have you found a type of meditation, a type of relaxation that helps you be here now in this moment? Give us a call. Let us know.
Or do you play an instrument? What do you do to be here now? I mean,
we're here, and we'd love to hear from you at 212-757-5555.
I mean, this is connected to yesterday. We are linking this good feeling of relaxation, this good feeling of being here now, to yesterday's show about flow. And it's not always necessarily about meditation or breathing. It can be other things that make you feel in flow, that make you feel relaxed, that bring you to the present. The present is full. There's enough here. There's not anywhere else to go. There's enough material here to be entertained by. You know, I think often people's thoughts are really their entertainment, and sometimes they just rely on a certain theme to go to when they're having a certain feeling in their body for entertainment, to keep themselves preoccupied, because maybe the present feels too empty. There's not enough here in the present. There's not enough here in my car as I'm driving. There's not enough here when I get home. There's not enough. I need something else to fill it up with. So let me get my thoughts going. Let me get my themes. Let me pull out my themes. So flow can happen more than just by being here now. Flow can happen more than just meditation or breathing. Flow can happen by doing certain things. For me, I mean, I don't know, Ben, do you have certain activities? Like when I play racquetball, I mean, I am...
Well, you mentioned it, playing an instrument. When I get lost in a guitar, time almost stands still.
Yeah.
It's like an extended moment.
Yeah. And how does it feel bodily, you know, physically? It must be a real...
It's an endorphin rush. Yeah, it's like how I feel after running a mile or two.
Right. I was going to say, it has to be some juice, some electricity going that makes you disappear and makes the present appear, and you sort of merging with that. So for me, it's racquetball. What is it for you? We're trying to find examples, people calling in today, about how they get into flow, how they get into the present. How does it feel to be present? And how did this meditation feel just now that we did?
Let's take a call real quick. We have George on the line. George, thanks for calling in.
Hey, guys. Good topic. I like the concept. It's hard to stay in it, but it's a good...
Yeah.
Definitely a good thing to think about. But
you called in yesterday, George, didn't
you? Yeah,
you know.
On the fear of the future, which, I mean, everybody has now because, I mean, we are the destroyers of worlds. and nobody likes to think about it. It's very easy to, you know, take a ride, read a book, you know.
Yeah, you said we yesterday also. What do you mean by we? Are you a destroyer of the world?
If we're sitting here watching it go by, yes, we are the destroyers of worlds. If we're sitting here with our country that is a big leader in wars and in money-grabbing wars of conquest, we are guilty as accomplices by sitting here. And that's a big weight. Mm. That's a big guilt. And
how do you pull out of that? How do you get yourself... Okay, that's one thing to ride.
How do you pull out? Exactly. How do you pull out before you crash into depression, into a world of even worse?
Because George,
you just feed into it.
You sound like you're a guy full of life. You just sound like you have a lot of enthusiasm, a lot of energy, and you know that. So it can be exciting being you. How do you slow down? How do you get in the present? How do you drop your opinions?
That's a good question, because when one tries to escape these nightmares that they make for themselves, even though, you know, they could be put off.
You did it again. George, you said one. When one does this, they do it. Right?
When I try to escape these nightmares that I see coming, or these nightmares that I see others living in another world, you know, the other thing is, what species of animal lets others in the same group, the tribe, take more than they need while others starve? That's a sickness in our species.
No.
I don't see apes doing that. I don't see anybody else doing that. You know what I mean? That's a sickness in our species that comes to the core of our species. And I think we've been hoodwinked, bamboozled, or whatever you want to call it.
I like
into
that
believing
word.
That this is normal. This is normal competition.
It's not
this is
normal.
This is nature's will and way. Yeah.
What's normal is to be here. That's normal.
Right.
Because you know, it sounds to me like you have a lot of backup, a lot of history to this. Like you can make this argument really related to, you know, the progression of America in the 20th century and 19th century. It sounds like you're linking, and it might be accurate. I don't know. But the real question we're asking today is what do you do? What's your secret? How do you get here now? What's your trick?
Yeah, that's a good question. I don't know how do I get here now?
All right,
that's a good question.
We're going to take your.
Okay.
Well, we want
so
you
how
to.
Do I get,
well, yeah, well,
how we, do I snap out of it? Is that what you're saying? How do you snap out of the funk? How do you get out of the funk?
If you don't hold it, if you don't know now, what we want to do is, why don't you call us back in 20 minutes?
I will. I'm going to try to think on it. But like I said, you're hitting on your very key thing.
Yeah,
because
I can hear it.
It could save a lot of people from a lot of depression and turn us into the right direction. I appreciate it.
We'll look forward.
I'm trying to work on the flow. Good. I'm trying to get what you're trying to say. I'm trying to.
Yeah, we look forward to you calling back. All right.
Thanks a lot, guys.
Yeah,
good job.
Talk
have
to you.
Good luck.
Thank you, George.
Sure.
212-757-5555.
You know, links. You know, your links might be all right. Every link you make might be, you know, 100% accurate. You know, you might be justified. You know, we're not saying, you know, links aren't valid or real or valuable. We just say that, you know, that they can create your own hell in a way. And the first order of business is to live. The first order of business is to live. You know, and then we like to tack on, be positive.
Let's take another quick call. Caller is on the line. How you doing?
Hi, my name is Anthony. I was on yesterday.
Hey,
Anthony.
We're getting the follow-ups.
How you doing, Anthony?
Good, Anthony.
Doing great. You know, I just want to say for George, you know, what's been going on in the world as far as the political situation and the greed has always been going on. You know, you go all the way back to Teddy Roosevelt and progressives. How, you know, he fought the big trust. It's the same thing. So if you live your life and worry about all of those things, you'll never get any peace.
Yeah.
You have to have faith in I've learned to have faith in my fellow man. You know, there are people who are stepping up all over this world in grassroots movements, and it's not going to stop. People will make this right, and it's going to just take the people. So I think I have faith in them, and I can strengthen that by also volunteering myself.
Help out to do
things, Black Lives Matter, protests, whatever I see, and I can get involved in, I get involved in it because that helps me.
Anthony, it's great to hear from you again today. that's a great antidote to linking, is go outside yourself, volunteer. I mean, it sounds like it works for you. How did you do with the 1 minute be here now exercise?
Well, I meditate anyway. My sponsor taught me how to meditate, and I tell you, the first time I tried to meditate, there was so much noise in my head, it was impossible.
Yeah. It's tough, right?
Yeah. But
and how about now?
It's gotten easier and easier.
So you can be here. You really, when somebody's sitting with you at a coffee shop or on the bus or somewhere, you are a guy that can actually be there for other people.
Yeah.
Be there in the moment. Great.
I have sons and grandsons, and I've had to learn to be there.
Yeah.
In the moment. And I've been in relationships where I've had to be there. Mm. So, and the meditation is the biggest thing that helps me. So when you guys were doing that, that was just a treat for me. I was just, I pulled over and just enjoyed that.
Yeah, WBAI. They don't do this on many radio stations. They actually have a 1 minute empty air. But we're glad you tuned in and appreciate so much of your feedback, Anthony. And
I love the show, guys.
Keep at it.
Thanks for the call, Anthony.
Keep at it. Thanks for calling.
And it's a great point that Anthony raises. And when we look back on history, and I've certainly done a lot of that, I actually studied history in school. And when I think about it, my whole education was based on linking, linking to the past, right? I mean, when we look back, a lot of the problems that we have now are just modern iterations of timeless problems, right? So with all respect to George, who raises valid points about, the challenges we face today, everything is kind of cyclical. And it's true that, warfare and greed are not exactly modern inventions. let's take another call. We have a caller on the line. Who's this?
Oh, hi. This is Tana.
Hi there. How you doing?
I'm great.
What's going on with you today? Are you you in the past and the future, or in the here and now?
All of the above.
All of the above?
All of the above.
Tell me about that.
Did you do the 1 minute with us, Tana?
Oh, it was amazing.
Wow. This would be helpful for you, wouldn't it?
Oh, it was amazing. I needed that.
It's legal. You can do this. It's a legal thing. You can do this 5 times a day.
Oh, I need that.
You called in last week. I remember you sang for us on Omron's birthday.
Yes. Right. Oh, and ironically, yesterday, I was on my way to a memorial.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
So, and it was an amazing memorial.
Mm.
So the way, that I get past it is through love. That's what's helping me now. Trying to forget the past, working on it, because some of the things from the past, they hurt. Mm. And you don't understand them, and you're trying to bring all of the stuff in your head into focus. Right now in the present, because that's where we are, and being so grateful that I am here. And looking forward to the future, because I know it's going to be amazing.
Well, it's interesting that you say that, because that hurt that you bring up that many of us have felt in the past, it's easy to let that hurt almost hijack our future, isn't it? Right? I was hurt in the past, and therefore I'll be hurt in the future. I was betrayed in the past, therefore I can't trust anyone because I'll be betrayed in the future. Right? I was lied to in the past, so if I believe someone now, then I'll be lied to again in the future. It's very easy to allow these sort of betrayals and hardships that we've experienced before then bleed into our future, isn't it?
Yes. It's amazing. But just, you guys being there and the therapy sessions that you're giving us over the radio. We're moving into this is spring coming, so everyone's always happier in the spring.
Yeah. Good, so. Tanner. Well, I was going to say, you are the definition of positive attitude. Yesterday we were talking about positive attitude, and you've somehow made it a way to put love into your life.
Yeah, and you know something? I just realized we need to take a quick break. We're a little late for our break, but thanks so much for calling in. Always good to hear from you.
Nice
hearing
from
you. You also. Bless you.
Bless you. Take care. Bye-bye. And we'll be taking your calls.
Thank you.
Continuing to take your calls. And for now, we're taking a short musical break, and we'll be back after this with your calls. 212-757-5555. Crystal Express here on 99.5 FM WBAI in New York City. Thanks for tuning in today. We've continued our discussion from yesterday about living in the past, living in the future, versus being here and now in the present, and the benefits of that. And we have a caller on the line. We have Rubens. Thanks for calling in, Rubens. Hello?
Hello?
Hi, yeah, it's very hard to hear you.
I just hear you in and out, like there's I can hear you very well.
Yeah, I think we have a bad connection, or maybe it sounds like you may be in the car on the highway.
Or in an airplane.
Actually, I am.
Or in an airplane, yeah.
Yeah, I do a lot of driving, so yeah.
So real quick, if you could just react to the topic, it is a little hard to hear you, but give us your take on today's subject.
Well, first of all, the caller that called like two calls ago, I felt like he had a lot of good points, because even if you try in the world, because we're so exposed to new information, so to try to be positive, it's even more difficult. When you look at all the sickness in the society, yes, in a way you become more healthy, but because the information increased so much about what we're learning about ourselves and what's going on around us, it's very hard to deny that there's a lot of things to be depressed about, and I think that it gets prolonged because you don't do enough about it.
You know, you bring up a good point, Rubens. You know, so many people are talking now about the election season and how difficult, you know, how somehow they're feeling worse because of the constant attention to the candidates. And it's like every election season, I don't know, to me it seems worse than ever. I mean, everywhere you turn, there's more news about the candidates. And, if you don't watch, if you're not watching it, it can bring you down. So
even if you don't watch, I think it affects you the same way. Saying if you don't tune to something negative, or you want to tune only to the positive things, it doesn't mean that the negative things don't hurt you anyway.
Right.
So we should look at these things and say, okay, how come every election, if you give the example of elections, it's like, how is that the choices that we have? And how come a third party thing is never brought into the mainstream media, mm-hmm. and it's never talked about?
Yeah.
So, okay, we leave the choice to for somebody to fix that to somebody else's hands. And that's how things never get fixed, because, I have my own problems and I need to fix my own things. But at the end of the day, we are connected like a chain.
Right.
We just don't realize that yet. So
how do you get into balance, Rubens? I mean, I see you find solutions and you're looking for solutions. But how do you find balance when it just feels like it's too much? You can't handle it.
I guess I tune out. I just
and when you tune
that in the modern world, because there's so much things that can enrage you. At the same time, you have to realize that it's a miracle that we live today.
There
you go. The fact that we didn't blow ourselves up,
right,
is a miracle, and that you go from there.
Good, good. So
you there's something keeping us together.
Yes, and you call it tuning out. Maybe take it a step further. You know, tuning out is a kind of like an exhaustion. How about tuning in, like, to where you are when you're choosing to let it all go? Let all the media and all of the candidates and all of the problems go. Tune in.
Where do they go? They stay at the back of your mind. Even if you forget it for a while.
Yeah.
It's always there.
All right.
Because we're leaving that.
Yeah. And you're in your car now, and it's with you as you're driving. I hear what you're saying. We gotta move on. We have another call coming in, Rubens. And when the plane lands, call us back. But
okay.
No, only kidding. But thanks for the call.
Okay, thank you.
Take care.
Tune in.
212-757-5555. 212-757-5555. Sometimes it can be tough to hear people because of various circumstances, maybe connection, driving in a car.
You were saying a good thing
otherwise.
about history when you were studying history and betrayals. And when you say things like, oh, because I was betrayed in the past, I'll never trust again, right? You were saying something, I've been betrayed 20 times or something, and there it is, I'll never do this again.
Mm-hmm.
That's a big link, you know, and when your links are that big, when you make big decisions like that, for instance, like I can't trust anybody, nobody's trustworthy, your links have taken over, you know. You have to find somebody to trust. You need to find or be open to trusting. And
we had this discussion not long ago on the show is how trusting are you? And we asked everybody in the studio and we asked people who called in, and most people tend to not trust.
Yeah.
It's
but to have no trust.
It's something that has been that we've learned, because I think as children we're much more trusting. We believe.
Yeah. And we think it's wise not to trust. That's real wisdom.
Right. Now you know, as we grow older and jaded and cynical, we come to a position of, you know, as you say, it's not wise to trust. It's almost commendable. It's almost become a commendable thing, almost become an admirable thing to be this.
But what a life. I mean, how is that to go through life? To
it can't
not
be,
trust
it can't
anyone.
Be yeah. easy. I mean, I have people in my life that I trust, but I'll be the first to admit that I'm unlikely to trust new people.
It takes you a while.
It takes me a while.
What I try to do is I try to make allowance for a betrayal that I know is going to happen anyway. In other words, I'll pick people to trust, and I'll trust them. And let's say 99% of the time, they're trustworthy. 1%, no, like all humans, maybe. And I take that into account. I know, okay, you know,
is a very optimistic ratio.
He's not going to return that call. She's not going to get me this present or, you know, something else. You know, I try to live with the awareness, like, okay, even if these people I've chosen to trust let me down, I'm not going to not trust them anymore.
Or not trust anyone.
Yeah, or not trust somebody in the future. So it's a big, when you make big links like all people are this, you know, or I can't do that because it's happened to me in the past, your link has taken over.
Well, look, there's language that we've learned to avoid. And when I say we, I mean Kevin, myself, Julian, Armand, when he was here. We learned to avoid words like always and never.
Yeah.
Right. Or everybody or nobody. And not to live in extremes, because that's a very easy place to go.
Yeah.
It's a quick shortcut to where we really want to be.
And the goal as an adult, really, the goal is to be open. Can you be an adult and still be open? I mean, Armand was like the most open guy I know. I mean, he was open to new experiences. He was looking for new experiences. He was open to every point of view. He wanted more points of view.
How many people...
He was open to new music.
...in their 70s listened to Katy Perry?
Yeah, so there it is. There's the goal. I mean, the goal is to always be open and be ready to be open. When you're closed down and closed off, even though it seems like wisdom to not trust people, you know, to be lost in your book on the subway and not engage with anybody. I mean, it's...
Well, there's this... Look, I think there's a collective conditioning that has happened. And I don't know how long it's been happening. And I don't know really... I don't know exactly who's doing it. But there has been a collective conditioning teaching us to be less trusting. Teaching us... to be skeptical, to be preoccupied about the past.
It's called nature.
You think it's called nature?
Yeah, I mean, we were born with this reptilian brain, and we've been around for how many, 300,000 years? And up until maybe 1,000 years, 2,000 years, we were vulnerable. And we're still vulnerable, but we forget that we're vulnerable. But, I mean, anything can sweep out your life in a moment.
That's true.
And so, you know, civilization is pretty much built on protection. How do we protect ourselves from each other or from the environment, from nature, from everything? It's called, you know, the reptilian brain is geared to be vigilant. We're here to be vigilant. Danger is everywhere. So we're unwinding from that, but we've only been unwinding for maybe 3,000 years. So, you know, we're built to be what's called dysphoric.
We're built dysphoric.
Dysphoria. You know, it's natural to close in and be protective.
Close ranks.
Close ranks. Be vigilant. It's natural. And, you know, we're at a stage of development where we don't have to be so vigilant anymore. There is no dinosaur behind you going to eat you.
But see, I wonder if that's, I mean, with due respect, Kevin, I wonder if that's really true, because children aren't like that. Children learn to become like that. So it goes back to this nature versus nurture debate that,
yeah,
you know, we've been having forever.
Well, awareness develops. Once awareness develops, as a kid turns into his 20s and then he's worried about his prospects out in the world,
yeah,
his awareness is developed. He sees what's ahead of him. Now he starts to become vigilant. Now he starts closing in. Now he starts being protective. As a kid, when everything's taken care of and you don't know that nature can harm you, or you don't know a lot of things, you don't know that people are dangerous or can be, you know, of course.
It makes me think of the you know, the stereotypical young liberal kid, young sort of wide-eyed idealist who then becomes a 50 or 60-year-old conservative.
Right.
Right?
What was it? Mark Twain said, at 18, I thought my father was an idiot. When I was 35, I couldn't believe how much he learned in 15 years.
Amazing, right?
Yeah. So yeah, we grow, we become more aware, and yeah, you know, there were so many quotes about the ardent liberal who becomes, you know, the vigilant conservative in his 50s or 60s. We're not those people. We try to be open. We're more interested in being here.
Well, I don't like labels like liberal, conservative.
Well, you brought it up, so.
I know, but it's 'cause it's like the famous quote, the famous proverb, I think that was from Winston Churchill, said something about that. But
yes, he did.
Yeah.
Yeah, at 40 I was a liberal, and at 60 I was, couldn't believe
something along those lines.
But I think it was Churchill. Churchill. Anyway, we're going far afield, but you're a historian, so naturally you'd bring it back to that. So be here now, Ben. Breathe. Be here now.
I'm getting back to right here. I'm getting back to here. And it's always good to be here. It's always good to be with you, our audience. We love hearing from you. We love taking your phone calls. And, you know, we love the interaction. We love the emails. And, you know, thanks to many emails that we received yesterday, we decided to talk about this a little bit more today, because it seemed to be a topic that struck something within a lot of people out there. So that's why we continued the discussion today on the past, the present, and the future, and why the present may be the best place to stay of those three.
Yeah. Be present.
Now, it's true that, you know, there are days that I wake up in the morning and I don't want to be in the present. You know, I mean, yesterday was a perfect example. I already had a feeling in the morning that I was going to have a rough day personally. And then, you know, I saw very sad news about many people dying for no reason. And that is, you know, this is a whole other topic that we could get into, Kevin, but I often do this where, when I see pain and sadness in the world, that I take it onto my own shoulders. And I think a lot of, WBAI listeners are the same way.
Yeah.
I feel like it's almost a personal affront to me when there's, a great sadness, a great harm or injustice happening. It hurts to see. And then it sort of personally throws me off. I spoke to a friend of mine yesterday evening, and she said, as soon as I woke up and saw the news, I felt depressed. I felt really down about it and personally affected by it. Even though, you know, she lives in the United States and has no ties to Belgium or anyone over there, she felt personally affected by it. And that's another topic I think we can get into in the future, how we often take on the weight of the world.
Yeah. It could be your nature. I mean, Armand did say something yesterday about kindness and the BAI listener as a kind audience, because we tend to be in flow and we want to fix things.
Yeah.
And so when things are beyond our control, you know, we have nowhere to put our kindness, we get down. So it's a challenge. It's a challenge. How do I keep my optimism, keep my openness, keep my flow going, and be aware of and experience these injuries, these wounds, these deaths out there? Different kind of vigilance, a positive attitude. That's what we were about yesterday. We heard about positive attitude today. Watch your links in flow, and creating positive links. Like, I believe when Tanner called in, it must have been a journey for her to get to this place of loving everybody.
Sure.
Or Anthony.
Yeah, and you know, Kevin, I really appreciate you being here yesterday and today to help us talk about this stuff, because
it's great fun.
It's